Let's turn our phones off and our spirit on.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was here in April. Yeah, it was great. We got into the divine and mystical realm.
Amen.
Wow. We want to stay in the divine and mystical realm.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here in Kansas City. We are in God's economy in faith.
Amen.
Wow. God's economy in faith. You know, this title is The Governing and Controlling Vision of God's Economy in Faith. Wow, in faith. What a big word. What a huge thing. Well, we're going to get into it this weekend. We're going to see God's economy is in faith. Wow. Which means we need to see a vision. Vision evidently is not easy because the vision in most cases is rare. So it seems like really the first thing we need to see a vision is we need the truth, right? We need the Word of God. Of course, we've all, to some degree, realized Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ.
Amen.
So we need the Word of Christ.
Amen.
But not only do we need the Word, we need it unveiled. We need revelation. We need the veils taken away. You know, that's really not all we need. You can have the truth. You can even be unveiled to some degree. But you know what else we need? Light.
Hallelujah.
We need light. Amen. And the only one that can give light is God Himself.
Amen.
God is light. So what does that mean? It means we need to be in the truth. We need to be unveiled to see, have some idea of what the truth is saying. But then we need to go to the Lord.
Amen.
Which I would say we need to pray, read what we're seeing in the Word until it becomes vision. And I've always, when I first came in the recovery, this is one of the first verses, Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, people cast off restraint. Another version says they fall in a ditch. Or they swerve off the path. In other words, the vision is what keeps us. Everyone, even humanly, needs a vision. You need to have some vision of what you're going to do with your human life. You need to have some vision of how you're going to raise your children. We need a lot of vision. But the real vision we need is God's economy. Lord, open our eyes. Enlighten our eyes.
Amen.
We could see what is the economy of the mystery.
Amen.
That's always been a mysterious verse to me. The economy of the mystery. The mystery has an economy. It's good to spend some time with young people, especially if they're business majors. I like to talk to them about economy. I was a business major. I didn't like that economy. Eventually, I got out of that economy. Well, actually, I guess you can't get out of it fully. But anyway, God's economy is a whole nother realm, which we're going to see tonight. I'm not sure that I'll be able to get out of Roman number one. This outline is just too full. So we need to realize to have a vision, we need truth, we need revelation, and we need light. But what is God's economy? I like to ask business majors that because a lot of them are studying economy, the economy of the U.S. Every country has an economy. Basically, it's getting the goods and services to the people who want it and need it. That's a simple definition. But actually, I like simplicity. I don't know about you. God's economy is the dispensing of all that God is into His chosen, redeemed, regenerated, and will be transformed people.
Amen.
That they would produce something. They would produce the body of Christ.
Amen.
To be His expression. So it's really simple. What is God's economy? Dispensing. And I remember the first illustration I heard of it, was a Coke machine. You walk up to a machine, a Coke machine, you put some money in. What does it do? It dispenses. It dispenses whatever you want from that machine. Well, God is in that business. He is in the dispensing business. That's what He does.
Amen.
That's His way to carry out everything He wants to do. So, if we see God's economy, we just need to have that one word, dispensing. Dispensing. Lord, dispense Yourself today. Dispense Yourself into me. I need Your dispensing. I have to have Your dispensing. I can't go through the day without Your dispensing. Well, another question is, what is faith? And this is even more, I don't know if you could say it's more mysterious, but it is the essence and the center of God's economy, so it has to be mysterious. So it doesn't mean I can conjure it up. It means I have to be dispensed into to have faith.
Amen.
To believe. There's a lot of examples in the Bible, but really I'd like to read some of Paul's experience. You know, we read 26:18, but I would like to read the whole portion there to some degree. Acts 26, you know, this is where he was giving his testimony of what happened to him to Agrippa. And we know the story. He was on his way to persecute the church. He even called himself, one of the adjectives he called himself, injurious. He was an injurious person. He injured people, especially if you were for God. He was not a nice guy. Even though he said he was righteous, he wasn't that nice. So anyway, if you look at Acts 26, starting with verse 15, this is when he met the Lord. He got his first dispensing. This is what I really enjoy Paul, because he is a great example of someone who saw something, gave himself to it, lived it, carried it out, and dispensed it into others.
Amen.
So here he says, he said to me, after he was told, you're persecuting me, then he said, I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. But rise up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you. In other words, you don't need to see him the first time. He needs to appear to you. The more he appears to you, the more you see him. Right? So he went on, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Then I love this is a famous quote that he spoke to Agrippa. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So actually, Paul didn't just see a spiritual vision, he saw a heavenly vision.
Amen.
somehow the heavens came to him. The heavens came to him in a person and revealed himself to him. And that was his vision. He had a heavenly vision of Christ. He saw what? He saw Christ was God. But not only that, he saw Christ was the head of the body. Hallelujah. His conversion was a big deal. It was colossal. It was awesome what the Lord revealed to him. Otherwise, how could he carry out all that the Lord had chosen him to carry out? Anyway, I like to go ahead here. It says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared both to those in Damascus first and in Jerusalem throughout all the country of Judea to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance. Because of these things, certain Jews seized me while I was in the temple and tried to slay me. Having therefore obtained the help which is from God, I have stood until this day, testifying both to small and great, saying nothing apart from the things which both the prophets and Moses have said would take place.
Amen.
I like that. He's quoting. I mean, he's saying, I'm saying the same thing Moses and the prophets have said.
Yeah.
That Christ would suffer, and that he, being the first to raise from the dead, would announce light. How do you announce light? That's another interesting... The Bible is so interesting. He announced light both to the people and to the Gentiles. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "You're insane, Paul!" You know, saints, we need to be insane.
Amen.
Brother Lee described crazy. We need to be crazy. We're not crazy enough. The more we see, the crazier we'll be.
Amen.
That was Paul. He was so crazy. He didn't have to think about what he was going to say when he was out. He was a crazy man.
Amen.
Brother Lee said, to be crazy is just to be out of yourself. Outside of yourself.
Amen.
Right? Lord, make us crazy.
Amen.
Well, then he went on, "Paul, you are insane, Paul. Much learning is driving you insane." But Paul said, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus, but I am uttering words of truth and soberness, for the king knows about these things." He's talking about Agrippa. The king knows about these things. He's a Jew. He knows about the Old Testament. He even knows about resurrection. He didn't believe in it, but he knows about it. He said, "For the king knows about these things, to whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things have escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" And what's he doing? He's speaking. He's dispensing into Agrippa.
Amen.
He's speaking. He says, "I know that you believe." That's quite bold. That's how crazy this man was. Would you say that to a king? I don't. And Agrippa replied, "Paul, by so little are you trying to persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "I would to God that both by little and by much, not only you, but also all those who hear me today, might become even as I am, except for these bonds." Lord Jesus. I love this guy. He's crazy because of what he saw. He saw something and he gave himself to it. So this outline, it says, excuse me, we in the Lord's recovery must have a vision of God's economy. We must have a vision of God's economy. We need a heavenly vision. Without it, we'll cast off restraint. Without it, we have no protection. Right? So we have to have vision. A says, we need to be brought into another realm. Not the so-called spiritual realm, but the realm of God's economy. A realm. I looked up, you know, I have a dictionary in my phone, and I'll tell you how I got it. Phil and I one day, or 2 days, were in Benson's home, and at one time we took a tea break, and Sister Lee came in and offered us tea, and he said, brothers, follow me, I want to show you something. So he took us into his office, and he said, in Brother Lee's home, what'd I say? Oh, sorry. Well, if you see Benson, you see Brother Lee, I'm sorry. That just tells you something anyway. Brother Lee said, I want to show you something. So he brought us into his office, and he has, of course, a desk, but behind the desk was a credenza. You know what a credenza is? I just call it a low bookshelf, you know, where you have, and he showed us his credenza, and he said, look, in that credenza was dictionaries, English, Chinese, Greek, all kinds of dictionaries, and he said, these are my teachers. So from that point on, I got a dictionary, and I'm always looking up words, because another thing Brother Lee would do, he'd be talking to brothers that are much more educated than me, especially some of them are English majors, know the English language. And a lot of times he'd be using a word and he would say, okay, okay, Rick, this is your mother tongue. What does this word mean? And of course the brothers would share, and everything they said was right. And Brother Lee would say, well, actually, I like that word. I have a granddaughter. That was her first word almost. Well, actually. If you ask her what she was doing, well, actually. I like that word. Actually, he said, it means this. And he would share with us what it really meant. So anyway, I have to use Webster. I'm not an English major or some dictionary. I don't think it's Webster. But anyway, I looked up the word realm. Listen to this. This is really good. Community. Or territory over which a sovereign rules. How about that? I mean, if you'd asked me what realm, I don't know what I'd say. Well, it's a sphere, it's a atmosphere, it's a venue. Brother would say, well, actually, it's where a sovereign rules. What does that mean? If you're in this realm, you will be ruled. If you have this vision, it will be a ruling to you. Well, actually, we're ruled by another king. And he rules, you know how he rules? By dispensing. Just like Joseph, who was the son of Christ, you know, he had charge of the storehouse of all the riches of Pharaoh. And everybody had to come to him to get food. And there was a lot of times famine. Well, he always had the food. And so he actually was ruling for Pharaoh. Pharaoh wasn't ruling. I remember one time Brother Lee said something about, well, I won't say his name, a ruler of a certain country. And he said he learned one lesson, that if he was going to have the people follow him at all, he had to feed them. And if you know the history of a particular country, when we first went there, the saints stood in line for everything, for bread, whatever, for hours. But pretty soon, you could go to the major cities and the grocery stores were full of anything you wanted. So that ruler learned his lesson, at least that lesson, just one lesson probably, to feed the people. Well, that's what our ruler is doing. Our sovereign is feeding us. So we need to be in this realm because this is the realm of God's dispensing. So I'm going to repeat this. We need to be brought into another realm, not the so-called spiritual realm, but the realm of God's economy. And then the next point is what should happen once we see this realm. Once we see God's economy, we need to be governed, controlled, directed by this vision.
Amen.
Governed, controlled, directed by vision. Not by just a teaching, not by your understanding, but by dispensing. Even you understand what it means, that's not good enough. You have to be controlled by dispensing. You know, that's why wives really control the house, unless the husband is the cook, which normally is not the case. The wives control the house. They're governing, controlling, ruling, everything by feeding. So that is the realm that we need to be in. So we have to be in this realm. You know, if you see this realm, not only will it control you, not only will it be a vision that is leading you, but it'll actually be your living. And that was Paul. Eventually, if this is your vision, you'll be strong. The next point. You'll be unshakable. The vision of God's economy is God's eternal will. Actually, without this, you will be shakable. You will be weakened. If you don't really see God's economy, you're shakable. If you see God's economy, then you'll be somebody who says, I know what I have seen.
Amen.
No one can shake you.
Amen.
I know what I have seen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I know. And Paul, even in one of his epistles, says, I know in whom. I know whom I've believed in. I know whom I believed in. He is able.
Amen.
Complete.
That's the way we need to be in our vision.
Unshakable. Lord Jesus. Then we won't care for anything else. We'll only care for the all-inclusive, extensive Christ and a proper, genuine church life. That's all we'll care about. You can't shake me. You can't distract me.
Amen.
Because I know what I've seen.
Amen.
And that's why I appreciate Paul so much. Let me read you something else. This is Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Listen to this. That we may be no longer children, little children, tossed by waves, carried about by every wind of teaching, in the sleight of men, in craftiness, with a view to a system of error. You know, in the New Testament, it does tell us and warn us that there will be problems, and there will be people who will come in to try to carry us away. That's why we need a heavenly vision.
Hallelujah.
Then we can say, I'm sorry, I know in whom I believe. I know what I've seen. And what you're saying is not God's economy.
Amen.
He goes on to say, but holding to truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things who is the head. Out
from
whom? I love it. Out from whom all the body, being joined together, being knit together, through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation, the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love.
Amen.
That's the result of having a vision. You're not tossed. You're not carried away. You're in the building. You're even being built and building.
Amen.
And let me read another portion. This is Ephesians 5. 14 through 17. Listen to this. Therefore, he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We have to have the light. You can't just read the Bible. You have to find the light. You have to come to the light. Look, therefore, carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Lord Jesus, we want to be those who are redeeming the time. That was Paul. He was always redeeming the time. Where are we? If we love the Lord and His recovery, and if we mean business to practice the church life in the recovery, we need to endeavor to seek all the visions concerning God's economy. When I first read that, I thought, all the visions? How many visions are there? So I started, actually, let me give you a little testimony. The last training we had, I just had surgery and I was recovering, so I couldn't go in person. My wife went to the first two meetings and I stayed at home and, you know, watched it virtually.
And I wasn't doing well.
I wasn't well and I wasn't doing well. I wasn't well physically and I wasn't doing well psychologically. So I'm sitting in those first two meetings and actually, Rick, I got a little subjective. And I don't mean in a good way. It's okay to be subjective to Christ, but it was a little heavy. And I was dealing with the Lord, and the third message, I got released, and I was in my living room. My wife was still in the meeting. And I got so released, I was in my living room, and I was dancing around. I got so released, and that was a message where it got into Paul's testimony as someone who believed the truth. And you know what he did? He said, amen. He didn't analyze it. He didn't argue about it. He just said, amen.
Amen.
And the example was him when he was on the ship, you know, and the ship was in a storm, and the ship was going to go down, but an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, you're not going down because you've got to go to Jerusalem.
Amen.
You got a purpose you've got to fulfill. He said, so you're not going down, and neither is anybody on the ship. So you know what he did? He went in and said, hey, brothers. I don't know if he said brothers. He said men. Hey, men, cheer up. We're not going down.
Hallelujah.
Besides that, you need to eat something. Cheer up. And then this is what he said. He said, it will be done just as it was spoken.
Amen.
In other words, we're not going down. He didn't analyze it. He said, wait a minute. The storm is big. I mean, come on. We're going down. You ever had that thought? I'm going down. Well, that's where I was in that message. But I realized we need to quit trying to analyze and just say amen.
Amen.
Amen, the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Don't try to figure it out. Take it in.
Amen.
Let it dispense itself into you.
Amen.
And by saying amen, it'll happen.
Amen.
So anyway, Paul was crazy. Why? Because he saw the vision of God's economy.
Amen.
He saw the dispensing. So after that, you know what I did? I was still sick, so I started realizing I need to pray read more. So I started pray reading Ephesians. And as I was pray reading Ephesians, I saw one of the, what does it say? All the visions of the concerning God's economy. I was pray reading chapter 1. In chapter 1, you have God the Father selecting and predestinating you.
Amen.
You have the Son redeeming you. Not only that, it says, and having heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. What is that? That's dispensing. God predestinated. God selected us to be sons of God. He sent the Son to redeem us And the Son became the life-giving Spirit to seal us.
Hallelujah.
Surely that's one. That's one of them. Anyway, I'm looking for more. But you know what? I've realized the best way to look is to pray. Pray, read. We recently, a sister who's just been meeting with us a short time, she, when we got to this matter of the spirit of faith, she said, when I came in the church, the one thing that gave me the most help was pray reading. She said, I was reading the Bible, studying the Bible, going to church, serving in the church. I saw nothing. She actually said that. I saw nothing. I came into the church life and I started pray reading. I just have to tell you, you got to pray read.
Amen.
Anyway, that's scriptural, right?
Amen.
Take the word by means of prayer. That's how you defeat the enemy. So in that third message, Satan got messed with.
Amen.
Because I started saying amen.
Amen.
And I started pray reading more. And the more you pray read, the more you get dispensed into.
Amen.
We have a young brother. He touched the church when he was a junior in high school. And he really had a consecration, even in high school. And he began to really pursue the Word, and so now he's about to graduate from college, and he's already filled out his application to go in February, and he's telling us, would you brothers hurry up and give me a recommendation? I've already turned my application in, and he's read all the books required for the trainees, except he said there's a new one, he's got to read it. I don't know what the new one is. There's been one added, but he's read them all. And what's the point here? Endeavor.
Amen.
Endeavor to see.
Amen.
We need to endeavor to see.
Amen.
God's economy.
Amen.
All the visions of God's economy.
Amen.
So these verses here, Jeremiah 29, that verse mentioned 29:13, seek and search and you will find. And this Deuteronomy 29 is very interesting. It says, the hidden things are of God, but the real things are for us. The revealed things are for us.
Amen.
So what does that mean? You have to endeavor. You have to labor some. You have to spend some time. That's why Paul said, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You know, young people, if you're, I'd say, under 25, under 35, you're going to face some things if you hadn't already. You're going to face some things, some troubling things, some serious things. That's when you really need God's economy in faith.
Amen.
Right now, you're just breezing along, enjoying being young. But with age comes things. We need God's economy in faith. So the rest of these messages this week, we're going to get more into this matter of faith. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, maybe we should go on. My goodness. Roman number 2. God's economy is God's household administration, which is to dispense himself in Christ into his chosen and redeemed people, that they may have a house to express himself, which house is the church, the body of Christ. God's economy is God's household administration. Of course, the most prevailing verse on God's economy is 1 Timothy 1:4, and the footnote there clearly defines God's economy. It's a household arrangement with an administration to get the riches of God into man. Or you could say, if you were a householder, rich farmland, and you had all the riches, you have to do everything you can to feed the family. God is doing everything to feed us. He's doing everything to dispense himself into us. So, read A under Roman number 2. Wow, to produce, amen, and constitute a body for his son. Sisters, B.
The central subject of the Bible is the economy of God, and the entire Bible is concerned with the economy of God.
The entire Bible is concerned, I like the word concerned, with the dispensing of God.
Amen.
Entire Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the whole Bible. And once you see this, you'll realize, yes, the whole Bible is related to God's economy. Brothers, one, the
governing and controlling vision in the Bible is the divine economy.
Is the divine economy. Sisters, two. Focus our attention. We need to focus. When you're in trouble, you need to focus on dispensing. When you're bothered, you need to focus on dispensing. When you're questioning, you need to focus on God's dispensing. When you hear questionings, you need to focus on God's dispensing. Brothers, three. Unless
we know God's economy,
right. When you see it, when you see God's economy, it opens the whole Bible. C, Christ is the element, sphere, means, goal, and aim of God's eternal economy. He is everything in God's economy. Christ is everything. I need him. He is everything. We need him. Sorry if I could sing. I don't have I've lost my singing voice. I'd sing it to you. Christ is everything. I need him. He is everything we need. Believe him.
Life is the person.
Receive him. Open up your heart and sing. Hallelujah. God's economy, D, is to dispense himself into our being that our being may be constituted with his being.
Amen.
This can be accomplished only by God's dispensing himself into us as the divine life. Let's all read this one, E, together. The economy of God
became
flesh, passed through human living, died, says God's economy is God becoming man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's economy is God becoming man.
Amen.
There's a process he had to go through to deliver this economy to us. He had to go through a process. So God became man.
Amen.
Not just to be a man on earth, but that man may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. To produce the organic body of Christ, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
You know what? Gee, we got to sing it. Right? We sang it earlier today. We need to sing it. Y'all all know this one? Starting with God's eternal economy.
God's eternal economy is to make man the same as he is in life and nature, but not in the God. to be enlarged and expanded in his expression, that all is divine, that all is divine. Attributes may be expressed in human virtues.
Hallelujah. So you know what we're dispensing? We're dispensing the attributes of God, which primarily are light, right? What are some of the other attributes? Love, righteousness, holiness. When we speak to people, we need to speak Christ in this way. So that means not only do we have to have truth, truth should bring us into experience, and experience should bring us into enjoyment. So then we don't have to think about what we speak. Once you're enjoying something, you just will speak about it. If you're not enjoying it, speak about it. You know, the worst thing that a cook can hear is, well, that wasn't bad. My wife is she's a restaurant critic. So many times we go out to eat. She said, well, it wasn't bad. I said, well, we're not going back there again. No. You know, you come to somebody's house and they feed you a feast and it's good. You're going to talk about it. You're even going to ask, would you give me the recipe? Right, sisters? I tell you, when we came to the church, nearly everything we cooked, somebody else. You know, Paul said you receive nothing from yourself. He's talking to you. You don't have anything from yourself. You just think you got something. You got nothing. You got it from somebody else. Well, actually, the best place to get the best recipes is in church life. Right? So, we're here in the church life. Glorious church life. We're feasting in the church life. We're becoming God in life and in nature. And we're enjoying the attributes of God in our human virtues. And that's why when we have truth, that should bring us into experience. That's why you need to be in the truth. Younger, the better. The more truth you have, the more experience you'll have, the more enjoyment you'll have, the crazier you'll be, and the Lord will increase. Because when you go out, you just speak what you got. Right? Even to prophesy in the meetings, you really need to have revelation. You need to have something from the Word, and then you need to muse on it during the day and compose. You know, that's biblical. What is it, Psalm 42? Isn't that Psalm 42? I speak what I have gained. 45, thank you. Touching, one version says, touching the King. It says, my tongue is a pen of a ready writer. If you haven't touched the King, you don't have revelation.
Amen.
You got to touch the King and get his divine attribute of light. And then you won't have to think about what to say. You're around people, you just automatically, because you're crazy. And you're in enjoyment. That's why when Paul spoke, he didn't have to think about it. You know what I'm saying? Everywhere he went, he was just dispensing. He didn't get that overnight, right? Of course, he had quite a bit of constitution even before he got saved. But when he got saved, it all became fresh, and it became his faith. And so he just would speak it everywhere, right? We believe, therefore we speak. But if you don't believe, if you don't say amen, you won't speak. If you just listen to messages and you never say amen, you know, actually in the meetings, you know, an amen, it's a response. And if you're not saying amen, you must be asleep. Sorry. And that needs to be our practice. A little more craziness, you know what I mean? A little more dispensing is what I mean. So, anyway, H, the divine economy is to produce the new creation out of the chaotic old creation. The history of the universe is a history of God's economy and Satan's chaos. Jump down to 3. The Lord needs the overcomers who will be one with Him to conquer the destructive satanic chaos and to triumph in the constructive divine economy. Amen. How are we going to do that? By speaking the truth. By speaking what we've enjoyed. Okay, let's read I. The Lord's recovery is for the carrying out of God's economy. Amen. The Lord's recovery is for the carrying out of God's economy. God's economy has been here for a long time, but it's not seen. We have seen something. One morning I got up and I was walking in this park and I just said, "Thank you, Lord. I still can hear." I was having trouble speaking. As you can tell, I still do. But I said, "I can still hear." And faith comes by hearing. And then all of a sudden, all the verses on hearing. He who has an ear, let him hear. Right? The eyes of your heart being enlightened. That's by hearing, by seeing. So anyway, the more we see, the more we're carrying out God's economy. So you could say, well, what does it look like? Well, it looks like what Paul said. He said, you've heard of my stewardship. You heard of the stewardship that I have. Stewardship is we have, which is God's economy. God, it's His economy. To us, it's our stewardship. We're stewards of God's economy. Amen? So we're serving people. We're stewards. We have a stewardship. So Paul said, "You've heard of my stewardship, of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." So what does it look like? It means for me to you. To carry out God's economy is the grace comes to me, but not for me. I get to enjoy it, but unless I dispense it, I'm not carrying out God's economy. So we have to carry out God's economy. He has to. He needs us. He's even saying, "Please eat me more. Take me in more. Be dispensed more, and then let grace." For me to you. That's what it looks like. On the negative side, to exercise faith is to stop our work, our doing. On the positive side is to exercise faith, to trust in the Lord. I really like this next phrase. Would y'all read it to me? Be. So well,
all God has done for us.
Amen.
And all God has
given to us. Amen. What a deal.
Amen.
We can't do anything. God has done everything.
Amen.
We get to receive it.
Amen.
What a deal.
Amen.
That's the deal of the universe. I can do nothing. God has done everything.
Amen.
I just need to receive it. How do you receive it? Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
What a deal. What a deal. Faith is a matter of seeing a view of the contents of God's economy.
Amen.
Contents of God's economy are just the process.
Amen.
God became a man. Lived on the earth 33 and a half years. Right? Died. Rose. Became the life-giving spirit. That's the content. We need to say amen every time we of resurrection. Even remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He said, brothers, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep laboring. Keep endeavoring to see and enjoy God's economy.
Amen.
Anyway, Christian life is a life of faith, a life of believing.
Amen.
Amen. A life of faith, a life of believing. Amen. So Paul says, Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So actually, the Christian life is a matter of hearing and believing. We do not live according to what we believe. Our walk is by faith, not sight. Amen. Okay, y'all read number 5.
Faith is the unique requirement for us to contact God in His economy and the unique way for us to carry out His economy.
Faith is a unique way to carry out God's economy. So I'm going to conclude just with this. The example of someone who is receiving faith, believing faith, speaking faith, and living faith is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified. I can't do anything. If you're dead, you can't do anything. If you're alive, you can do a lot of things. I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. But the life I now live, it's another life. The life I now live, I live in faith. So the key word is in faith. But it's not just in. It's in faith, the faith of. In faith, the faith of. In Christ, the faith of Christ. So the secret is to be in Christ and to enjoy His faith. Amen. I like that. You said amen. So actually the secret of expressing Christ is living in us. Amen. And when we're in Him and we're in His faith, we will be living another life. We will be living in God's economy. We better stop so you can share. Amen. Thank you, Lord.